had been announced for presentation this evening has been canceled because of circumstances beyond our control. The workshop will attempt to arrange for its presentation in the near future. We offer instead a radio adaptation of Guy de Maupassant's famous short story, The Orla, starring Alfred Shirley.
A little island in a setting of sapphire sea. A pillar of black smoke twists up against the blue tropical sky from the glowing embers and flame-twisted debris of a house that once occupied the little clearing. A few hundred yards off the shore of the island, a ship rides at anchor. The gulls fly in lazy circles around its mast, or with bright, inquisitive eyes and beating wings, follow a small boat whose keel is just grating on the white sand of the beach.
All right, make her fast. Higgins?
Aye, sir.
You and Baron, see if you can find some fresh water.
Aye, aye, sir.
If you do, fill the jars.
Aye, sir.
Come on, Masters. Let's see what that fire was, and if anyone needs any help.
Aye, sir. Here's a path. Probably leads to the house.
Hasn't been traveled much. Not worn very wide.
Phew, it's hot.
Yeah. Can't be very far, though. This island's just a pinhole on the chart. Grab that briar bush. It's like 60.
Don't I know it. Funny how still it is. There must be someone here.
I'll try a call.
Hello!
Answer at all, Captain Pantworth?
No. No, it's quiet as a tomb. Try it again.
Hello!
That's everyone left after the fire.
Well, they didn't leave from this side of the island. There aren't any marks on the beach.
Oh, I noticed that, too. There's a turn in the path here. Maybe we can see something there.
Yes. Yeah. Plane's kind of quiet, isn't it? It's so dead still that it almost hurts your ears.
Yeah, that describes it exactly. Here we are. Captain, look.
Why, that's a house, and it's burnt to the ground. The only thing left standing is that heavy iron door.
It's a terrible fire, all right.
I wonder why they had such a heavy door in such a spot as this.
They must have been afraid of something, Captain.
What could they have to fear on this island?
I don't know. Captain Conforth.
What is it, Masters?
Isn't that a man over there, sitting on under that tree?
Why, yes. Hello. Hello there.
What's the matter with him? He doesn't even turn his head.
Well, maybe he's deaf. Come on, we'll go and find out.
Young chap. Look at his face. He looks as though he's lived a million years. What's he staring at?
We'll soon find out. What's happened, mister? I said, what happened here?
Saints preserve us. What's the matter with him?
He's mad. Mad as a hatter, Master. Look at his eyes. They're fixed on those bushes over there. Here, take my gun and see what's over there, Master.
Yes, sir.
What's your name, mister? Look at me. Look at me, I tell you. What's been going on here?
Captain Conforth.
Yes, Masters?
There's a dead man here in these bushes.
What?
Yeah, shot right through the head.
Look through his pockets and see if you can find out who he was.
Aye, sir.
What do you know about that man over there in the bushes, mister? You'd better explain and explain quick. If you don't, I'll put you in irons and give you to the authorities of the nearest port. Come, speak up.
The Orla.
You'll have a hard time explaining that to a court of law. Find anything, Masters?
Nothing but this little black book. It's a diary, I guess. All full of dates. Seems to be mostly about a chap named Dorla.
What was the name?
Orla. H-O-R-L-A.
That's funny.
What is it?
Now, this fellow here has been babbling about this Orla.
Is the Orla Manta?
I don't know, Master.
Well, maybe the diary would explain.
Perhaps. Here, let me see it.
Yes, sir. Man over there in the bushes looks pretty dreadful. His face is all drawn up as if he'd had a terrible scare just before he died.
The first entry in this book is May 8th of this year. He's been in quite a cheerful mood. Listen to this. Today's been a glorious day. My new secretary and I spent the morning on the terrace together, talking about this and that. Nothing in particular. Beautiful on these May mornings. That widespread town with its blue roofs lying under the bristling host of Gothic belfries. They're beyond number, dominated by the leaden steeples of the cathedral, and filled with bells that ring out in the limpid spring air. As we sat there, they began to ring, sending us the sweet and far-off murmur of their iron tongues, swelling, dying away, and swelling. It's very beautiful, Monsieur Dufour.
I like it, Hunt. They say that familiarity breeds contempt, but the more I learn about this countryside, the dearer it becomes to me.
Have you always lived here?
Yes, and my father and forefathers before me. Oh, just look at the Seine. It rolls away like a silver ribbon.
Yes. Isn't that a Brazilian boat just going by?
The Three Master, yes, I think it is. Probably out of Rio.
Rio? I was reading an interesting article about that place while I was waiting for you to come down.
Is that so?
Yes. In the Revue du Monde Scientifique. Let's see, it was on page 14, I think.
What was it about?
Oh, here it is, I found it. A strange piece of news reaches us from Rio de Janeiro. Madness. An epidemic of madness, comparable to the contagious outbursts of dementia that attacked the peoples of Europe in the Middle Ages, is raging at this day in the district of São Paulo.
That is odd. I wonder what kind of madness.
Oh, the article goes on to tell, sir. The distracted inhabitants are quitting their houses, deserting their villages, abandoning their fields, declaring themselves to be pursued, possessed, and ordered about.
Pursued, possessed, and ordered about by what?
Well, I guess they don't know exactly.
What else does it say?
Well, the afflicted describe their masters as being invisible but tangible beings. Vampires of some kind who feed on their vitality while they sleep. In addition to drinking milk and water without, apparently, touching any other form of food. What do you make of that, Monsieur Dufour?
It's hard to say, Hunt. Probably a simple case of hysteria that sometimes runs like wildfire through a group of people, generally originating in a perfectly natural series of events.
Well, I suppose that's the explanation, sir. Who are you waving to?
I thought I saw someone wave to us from the Brazilian ship. Perhaps I was mistaken, and yet
it might have been a bit of sail flying in the breeze.
Yes, it might have been.
Why, what's the matter, Monsieur Dufour?
Nothing. Nothing, I guess. Bit of a chill. For a moment, everything went black.
Can I get you anything, sir? Some water?
Oh, no, thank you, Haunted. It's all right. Just a moment. That is odd. It seemed as though someone were whispering in my ear. Whispering a warning of danger or death.
Your eyes are dilated as though you had a bit of fever, sir.
Then that probably accounts for the chill, and it's fogged my mind just enough so that I took that story of that Brazilian horror and wove a personal daydream around it.
Do you want me to send for the doctor, sir?
No, it is nothing but a passing weakness. By tomorrow I shall be my usual self. Strange how dark it has become.
Dark, sir?
Yes, those clouds seem to have covered the sun. I suppose that is why it's so cold.
Why? The sun's shining quite brightly, sir. There isn't a cloud in the sky. It's really very warm.
Is it? I wonder if I am going blind.
Blind?
No. I can see clearly again. For a moment, it was as though someone were holding a thick veil in front of me, and then it was drawn slowly away.
I'm afraid you're really quite ill, Monsieur Dufour.
Nonsense, Auntie. Aunt, where are you?
I'm sitting right here in this chair, sir. Right where I've been for the last half hour.
Oh, yes. That shadow passed between us. For a moment, I could not see you at all. Oh, what is that frightful din, that ringing?
It's the bells, sir. The church bells in Rouen.
Church bells? I don't like church bells.
But you said you did. But don't you remember? We were talking about them.
How could I? We have just this moment met.
Monsieur Dufour.
Huh? Oh, yes. That is my name, isn't it? For a moment, I thought I was someone else. Oh,
I think you should have a doctor, sir.
I assure you that I am quite all right, though I think I shall go to my room and lie down for a while.
Shall I come with you, sir?
No, no, there is no need for the three of us going.
The three of us, sir?
Yes, the three of us. You and I and... Oh, strange. I could have sworn there was someone else.
There's no one else, sir.
No. No, of course not. I'll see you later in the day, Hunt. Perhaps when my mind will be more clear.
Yes, sir. And if there's anything I can do...
Those bells. Try to stop those church bells. There is no room for me to think. There, diary. The story of another of my days belongs to you. June the 2nd, I have seen the doctor. He found no alarming symptoms of any kind. There were no warning signals of a lurking disease germinating in my blood or in my flesh. About 10 o'clock, I come up to my room. The instant I am inside, I double lock the door and shut the windows. I'm afraid, yet afraid of what? I lie down and wait for sleep. I feel that someone approaches me, looks at me, touches me. And he climbs on my bed, kneels on my chest, takes my neck between his hands and squeezes with all his might, strangling me. I struggle, I try to cry out, I try to move. I can't. I try to fling off this creature who is crushing and choking me. Suddenly I wake up, terrified, wet with perspiration. With shaking hands, I light a candle and I search the room. There is no one. I am alone. Come in. Oh, it's you, is it, Hunt?
Yes, sir. I was on my way to bed. Miss Harriet asked me to bring up your glass of milk. The one that you always have at night on your bedside.
Yes, thank you, Hunt.
Will you start on your holiday this weekend, Monsieur Dufour?
Perhaps.
We were all very surprised when you returned day before yesterday. Why did you change your mind and turn about and come back, sir?
I don't know, Hunt. When we got to Rouen, I stopped at the library. When I came out of the library and got back into my carriage, then a strange thing happened. I opened my mouth to say, to the station. But I was unable to speak a word. Then my voice returned, and with the words to the station in my mind, my lips shouted, home, home. Shouted it so loudly that passers-by turned around to stare. I believe that I am losing my mind.
Nonsense, sir. You are perfectly sane.
Oh, I wish I could be sure of that.
What makes you say that, sir?
Well... For one thing, the milk.
The milk?
Yes, that glass or others just like it have sat on that little table beside my bed every night for the past month. My lips have not touched any of them, yet every morning the glass is empty and the milk is gone.
Perhaps you just don't remember drinking it, sir. People sometimes do things when they're half awake and then have no recollection of doing them when morning comes.
I wish it were so.
But who could it have been? Was your door locked as usual?
Locked, double locked, and the windows bolted shut.
And no person could have entered?
No. No person. No.
No, no, no animal?
No. No, no animal.
Then what could it be?
It was a thing.
A thing? What kind of a thing?
I don't know. If I don't find out, I shall go mad. An invisible being haunts me.
But anything we can't see, monsieur, doesn't exist.
Can you see the wind? No, no, but nevertheless, the wind exists.
Well, the wind. Of course, anyone can understand that, but well, a being, an invisible being.
And why not? Why not a new being? Why should we consider ourselves the last, the most perfect? Perhaps some being has been created who is greater than us, better than us, physically and mentally.
Well, I grant that we're not perfect, sir, but a new being. Well, that's stretching your imagination pretty far. What would you call this new invisible person?
His name has been shouted in my ears for days, and yet I cannot quite catch the word. My mortal ears are too deaf, too dull. One of these nights, to hear and understand.
But where did he come from, if there is such a being as you describe?
Oh, do you remember that morning we met when we sat on the terrace and watched the boats go up and down the thing?
Yes, I remember very well.
Do you remember seeing that three-master pass, the Brazilian ship, and I thought I saw someone wave?
Yes. Yes, I said that it was probably a bit of sail flying in the breeze. But you waved back.
Oh, if only I hadn't.
Why did you say that, sir?
You remember on that same morning reading me that article from Rio about that epidemic of madness that had broken out?
Yes, I remember that, too.
It told how people were leaving their homes and deserting their villages because they were pursued and possessed by invisible but tangible monsters.
But you don't know. You don't think.
What else can I think? He'd say that there were vampires of some kind who fed on the vitality of their victims while they slept. Didn't you say that they touched no other form of food or drink except water or milk? Milk? Who else would be responsible for that empty glass by my bed every morning?
But how did such a creature get here?
He was in the ship, my dear. An exile from the land of his origin. He saw my house. Twice in that ship. He saw me wave. He deserted that vessel to live with me.
But his name, he must have a name, if he lives on Earth like you and I, and is not just a creature of madness. What is he called?
I don't know. I don't know. Tonight, I shall try to find out. What is your name? What is your name, invisible being? I know you are here. I know that it is you. Before long, I shall not be able to talk to you like this, for you will own my body. The words I will speak will not be my words, but yours. The things I will do will be what you want me to do. Where are you standing? By my bed. By the window, by the desk, or do you stand in front of this tall mirror? So that's where you are. I found you at last. I found you. This mirror, which was so faithfully reflected my face and form, is but a blank pane of glass as I stand in front of it. You are standing between the mirror and me, absorbing my reflection as a bit of blotting paper drinks up ink. I cannot see you, yet I can see where you are. What is your name? What is your name? It seems as if you were shouting in my ear, and yet I cannot hear you. Say it again. Say it again. Yes. Yes. Yes, again. Tell me again, Viola. Is that it? Viola. Now I know. Now I understand. Now I know who you are. Now I can fight you. Now I have a chance of winning. It will be a battle of wits, Viola. A battle of your wits against mine, and the stake for which we play
Listen, carefully, Ola. The stake is your life against mine. Hunt! Yes, there is a prisoner. A prisoner in my room.
Are you sure?
Oh, of course I am sure. I waited. Waited until I saw the glass of milk lifted from the table. Then I ran out quickly and bolted the door. Yawler is locked in my room with the carriage waiting.
Yes, sir.
And the boat.
Wait for us till 10 o'clock, sir. Miss Harriet and George are on board now.
And the captain will keep his promise and put us ashore at the island.
Yes, sir. He's being well paid for it.
And the house on the island, it is ready.
Yes, sir.
Ah, that is good. Good. Hark. Did you hear that noise? The Orla has discovered that I am gone, that he's a prisoner. Come, hurry. Down the stairs, into the carriage. We must get on board the ship and set out to sea before he breaks loose and joins us. Goodbye, Orla! Goodbye, Orla!
Diary, your brown leather arms embrace another day. December the 2nd, what a beautiful day. What a peaceful day. Life is a joy once more. I am glad that I thought of this island, this tiny speck with the sea on every side. We have been here for 3 months. Hunt, Miss Harriet, George, myself. I feel like another man. As if I had died and had been given a new soul and body. I wonder where you all are. I wonder if he is searching for me. He will look in vain, for he will never find me here. The boat has just arrived with our first load of supplies. We must hurry down and see if they have brought any letters for me. I'll see you tomorrow, Diary. December the 3rd. I have just read the page that I wrote in this diary yesterday. It doesn't seem possible that a man who could be so happy in one day could be so thoroughly miserable 24 hours later. He is here. The Orla is here. He learned where I was hiding, and he came after me on the boat that brought the supplies. All last evening, I had a vague sense of fear. Then last night, after I had gone to sleep, I felt him crouch on my chest. He pressed his mouth on mine and drank my life from between my lips. Sucked it from my throat like a leech. When he rose from me replete, I awoke so mangled, bruised, and enfeebled, I could not move. What can I do? What can I do? There is only one thing left to do. Hunt, wake up.
What?
Quiet, what? Hurry. You have not time to dress.
Oh, what's the matter, Monsieur Duval?
Don't ask questions. Get out of that bed and follow me if you don't want to be burned alive.
But I don't understand.
What is there to understand? The old lord is here. He is locked in the other part of the house. This door is the only one left open. Come, hurry. Come this way.
Where's the fire?
It's all over the house. I drained the oil from the lamps and saturated the floors and carpets.
In but a few moments, the whole house will be a raging inferno.
But Miss Harriet and George are in there.
Don't I know it? But there isn't time to warn them. Besides, if I open the door to that part of the house to let them escape, the Aller would escape too. Come.
Oh, but you can't. You can't leave them to die locked in the
house. Why can't I? It is either their lives or mine. Either they die by flame or I die at the hands of the Aller.
Oh, it's cold-blooded murder. Don't close that door. Open that door, I tell you!
Hunt, stand away from that door, I shoot you down. You can't stop me by force or with maudlin appeals. I've got the order just where I want him. Poison, bullet, or knife won't harm him. But fire!
You fool, listen to reason!
Reason! The order has stolen my reason. In a few moments, that house will be a horrible and magnificent funeral pyre. A monstrous pyre lighting up the whole earth. A pyre that will be consuming the human flesh of yours. And Harriet, and the inhuman flesh of him, my prisoner, him, the new being, the new mask, the Aller.
Oh, Madeline, you hear those screams. It's George and Harriet.
The Aller is in that flaming oven too, and the Aller is in that fiery back, and he's dying too. You'll see that long black shadow cast by the trunk of that tree. The shadow dances with the flames. Yours is dancing too, Hunt. Your long black shadow is dancing, and mine. Bill, look.
What is it?
I have no shadow. Do you know what that means?
No.
It means that the Aller has escaped the flames. It means that the Aller is standing by my side. Like the time when he stood between me and my mirror, and I could not see myself. Now, the Aller is standing between me and my shadow. The Aller lives.
Is that the last entry in the diary Captain Tonforth?
No. There's one more, Master.
What's the date of that?
Last night. The night that this house burned to the ground and we saw the flames from out at sea. It says, the Aller still lives. As I write these words, he's at my shoulder, reading what I've written. I cannot kill him. There's nothing to do but kill myself. And that's the end of the diary, Master.
And he did kill himself?
Yes.
Poor fellow. You suppose it was all in his mind, sir? A creature created by a brain that was rotting away?
I don't know. What do you think, Master?
I don't know. I wonder if there was an Aller.
Columbia Workshop has presented a radio adaptation of Guy de Maupassant's famous short story, The Aller. It was dramatized for radio by Charles Tazewell. Bernard Herrmann conducted and composed an original musical score. Irving Reese directed. The Aller starred Alfred Shirley as Dufour. Mr. Shirley is one of radio's outstanding dramatic actors and has appeared in many workshop programs. He was supported by Edgar Staley as Captain Conforth, Santos Ortega as Masters, Morgan Farley as Hunt. The Columbia Workshop wishes to thank all its listeners who wrote for the Columbia Workshop booklet and to announce that it will be ready for mailing within the next week. For those of you who did not hear last week's announcement, we repeat that a booklet is being prepared listing a description of the next 13 productions which the workshop will present and also a brief history of the program, which we will be pleased to mail you if you will drop a postcard or a letter to the Columbia Workshop, CBS, New York City. Tune in next week for another workshop presentation under the direction of Irving Reese. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.